This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A legal setback for Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes in her bid to overturn a fraud conviction.
A three-judge panel at the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has rejected Elizabeth Holmes' claims that there were legal errors in her trial and that of Theranos founder Sonny Balwani. Both were convicted of defrauding investors by claiming their company, Theranos, could run a multitude of health tests off a single drop of blood. Their company was once valued at $9 billion. Holmes was sentenced to over 11 years in federal prison. This now leaves her with limited avenues for overturning her conviction. Alex Stone, ABC News.
President Trump indicated talks are moving along on a brokered deal to end the war in Ukraine. Today marks 3 years since Russia invaded. The president making those comments while hosting French leader Emmanuel Macron. The Vatican says Pope Francis is showing some improvement as he battles pneumonia. The 88-year-old pontiff remains in critical condition, though, at a Rome hospital. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. School shootings have been top of mind for many. The Ithaca School District is confronting the issue of school shootings head-on. To better prepare for the worst, the district has teamed up with shooter detection systems. Faculty and staff were able to see how the technology works and decide whether it's worth the investment at a demonstration this past week. The technology introduced detects when and where a gun is fired on a property. It then alerts security personnel, law enforcement, or any other emergency responders the district chooses to link the system to. Marty Richards, Facilities and Transportation Chairperson on the school board, emphasized how the demo revealed the system could improve law enforcement response times, an important aspect for rural areas. Using a listening device and infrared sensor, the technology would help responders quickly locate suspects once they're on site, significantly reducing threat response time. In order to implement the system, the district needs help from the state. The level of state aid has not increased since 2011, limiting the budget for safety systems and other essential infrastructure. Despite controversy in recent years, the Assembly has passed an annual Black History Month resolution. In 2019, Democratic sponsors wanted to include Colin Kaepernick in the resolution. Republicans objected because the Wisconsin native and former NFL quarterback protested police violence by kneeling during the national anthem before games. Then in 2022, a Republican-authored resolution passed the state Senate despite objections from Democrats, while both houses signed off on a resolution in 2023. Those honored this year include the first Black judge to sit on the Wisconsin Appeals Court, Paul Higginbotham, and Marsha Anderson, the first Black woman to become a major general in the United States Army Reserve. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Badgers hope to bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers had a five-game winning streak snapped when they lost to Oregon 77-73 in overtime over the weekend. Next, they host the Washington Huskies, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. How do they regroup? Head coach Greg Gard.
Well, you got to turn the page. I mean, we would come back, prep for Washington, rebound and bounce back. And fortunately, this isn't like football where you have to sit 7 days, wait for your next game. We're going to play again on Tuesday night, improve the areas that we need to improve.
NBA, the Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Baseball, Brewers losing 6-1 to the Rockies in Cactus League action. Pat Murphy on what he wants to see this spring training.
I love seeing young players hungry and want to play in the big leagues and never have. I told two or three of them today, have you ever played in the big leagues? They said no. I said, well, you're going to play in the big leagues this year. So call your mom and dad and let them know you're going to play in the big leagues this year.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A blast of spring today. Under mostly sunny skies, high temperatures soar to the low 50s. But it's a bit breezy, with a west wind whipping up to 30 miles per hour. It will become cloudy tonight, with lows falling below freezing. And another mild day tomorrow, with highs in the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, maternal mortality rates are on the rise across the country. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here to explain it all. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Monday. And a happy Monday it is. At least the weather is beautiful across most of Wisconsin. It is so bizarrely, gorgeously warm outside. I hope you've had an opportunity to get outside and enjoy it. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show. I got Cal with me on the board and my senior producer, Jamie, also helping us out today. So welcome to the show, everybody. I just completed a very, very fun birthday weekend myself. I was all over the place, was traipsing to Madison on Saturday night for a nice dinner that I had with some friends, and spent yesterday afternoon listening to some Brewers baseball after a lovely brunch with some friends. Hope you had a chance to relax over the weekend. I very much enjoyed the Brewers squeaker win on Saturday, but not so much the pain of our near blowout yesterday at the hands of the Rockies. Another Brewers spring training game starting here in mere moments. Do not worry, I will keep you apprised as to the goings on that game. If you're just tuning into the show, I am a baseball-obsessed Brewers fan, so we tend to talk a little bit about the Brewers here on this show. But there is lots of politics to cover today. We got a couple of fabulous guests joining us. The director of public health at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Jill Rosenthal. I'm really excited to have Jill join us. She's going to come and join the show at 3 p.m. We're going to talk about the Donald Trump Musk billionaire overlord cuts to the National Institutes of Health and what that means for your family's health going forward. And of course, it is Monday. And so every Monday at 3:30, we're joined by Dom Salvia for a little segment we like to call In Case You Missed It. With Dom Salvia, there's just a couple, two, three things that we can be talking about today with Dom. It is sure to be a hoot to help start your week off right. If you want to join our program this hour, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. You can use that number for both talk or text, for a phone or text to join. And of course, if you go get the Civic Media app from your favorite app store for free, you can call or text our show with just one click of a button on the app. Let's get into it. As I have been doing recently, I have begun each show with a quick set of things that are happening in the news. So much going on every day. We don't do a deep dive on these. It's kind of a laundry list of the things that I have either thought were really interesting or extremely important and merit mention, just to be sure we're covering the news of the day. Here's one of the really interesting facts that happened. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the circuit out on the West Coast and includes California, it's a federal court of appeals, today denied Elizabeth Holmes's criminal conviction appeal. Remember this lady with the unblinking weird doe eyes and the black turtlenecks a la Steve Jobs that ran that little fraud called Theranos for a few years, claimed that they could basically take a drop of your blood and run every single conceivable test under the universe. Of course, the thing never worked. It was a pretty brazen fraud. She was sentenced to 11 years. For her role in that scheme. The Ninth Circuit today saying, yeah, you're going to have to serve at least a goodly portion of the 11 years. An odd actual moment of accountability for financial and corporate crimes there. So I took note of that, followed that case very closely. The German elections, basically those results have been coming in. You know, because in Germany, they do elections over a weekend when fewer people are working. Kind of makes some sense, doesn't it? I'm going to get into some of the takeaways of that election with Dom when he joins me at 3:30, if we don't get there before. But we are going to look at that. Again, a big rise in the far right AfD party, which Elon Musk stumped for, but they did not take the big cake. We're going to talk more about that at 3:30 with Dom. Here's one of those, oh my gosh, is this actually happening moments. I'm sure you all saw this big news just breaking over the last hour, hour and a half. The United States at the United Nations voting with Russia and against a resolution backed by nearly the entirety of Europe demanding Russian withdrawal from Ukraine. This is a continuation of this thing that we've been all watching, which is basically the abandonment of 80 plus years of consistent foreign policy positioning, stance, efforts of the U.S. really trying to control the threat of the dictatorship of the authoritarian state of Russia. Wasn't an issue right after the fall of the Berlin Wall, but since Vladimir Putin has seized the reins of power over the last 20, 25 years in Russia, that has been our focus, an abandonment of our allies in many ways, shapes, and form. That continuing today, an absolutely shocking vote coming from the United States. And in that same vein, today, President Trump, here's my next quick thing, meeting in the White House with French President Emmanuel Macron. And Trump saying during that meeting to press, on this, the third anniversary of the war with Ukraine, saying that the fighting in Ukraine could be over, quote, within weeks, and Trump suggesting that he might visit Moscow very soon, and reiterating with, excuse me, President Macron sitting there, it was really weird, reiterating his demand, I'm going to call it extortion, that Ukraine hand over billions of dollars in mineral rights as part of a deal to end the war to not Putin, not Western European allies. No, billions of dollars in mineral rights to the United States. So that those things, pretty shocking, just in the turnabout, in the 180 that U.S. foreign policy has taken in the last 2 weeks. But take heart, everyone. Vive la résistance. It is happening. The thing is real. Republican after Republican in their town halls, usually sleepy affairs back in their congressional districts in their home states, getting a little medicine, I would say. Maybe a little of their own medicine from angry constituents that don't like the idea of a billionaire overlord running willy-nilly through our federal government. Let's start with a little feedback that Glenn Grothman, Wisconsin's very own, got at his last town hall. Let's take a listen.
President Trump has issued a lot of executive orders. I think by and large, this is moving very quickly compared to other administrations. And I think across the board, he's done some very good things. I think he's gotten rid of birthright citizenship.
No, he hasn't.
Illegal as hell.
That lady's my favorite from the peanut gallery. Illegal as hell. I mean, Glenn Grossman's grasp of issues and politics is about as nuanced as a sledgehammer. He really doesn't have. Have you ever met him, Cal? Glenn Grossman, seen him like live and live in color in three dimensions?
I have not had the displeasure, but just
yes.
Cutting this, it. The look on his face is so smug and annoying.
Yeah, Glenn Grossman is an odd individual. To say that he lacks interpersonal skills is almost giving the man like too much credit. Yeah, Glenn, read the room, dude. Not going well for Glenn Grossman. Also, Wisconsin's very own Scott Fitzgerald getting a similarly chilly reception. Let's take a listen.
When will you stand up to them and say that is enough?
The end result of the fraud and abuse that has been discovered already.
Again, the ladies in the back row, no proof. Yeah, those are the facts. It's amazing when your constituents have a better mastery of the actual facts on the ground than a congressional elected representative does. It didn't stop there. A couple other reps from outside of the state of Wisconsin. This is Representative Stephanie Bice getting a call from a constituent. She's from Oklahoma. Let's take a listen.
I'm a registered Republican voter and retired active Army officer. How can you tell me that Doge, with some college whiz kids from a computer terminal in Washington, D.C., without even getting out into the field, after about a week or maybe two, has determined that it's okay to cut veterans' benefits?
I think a couple things. Let me give you an example. Did you know that the VA was in charge of payments for illegals for housing? Basically, the VA.
No, I'd like for you to send that. Send me. Could you send me that reference so I could research that? Because no, I'm not aware of that. And I would tell you that red herring, a false flag. If you're throwing that kind of political stuff up, trying to cut veterans' benefits. That's very alarming to me.
Ouch. Again, when the constituents are fact-checking the elected officials, you know things have gotten well out of hand. And this last one from Representative McCormick. These folks weren't having any little bit of it. Let's take one last listen.
Tyranny is rising in the White House, and a man has declared himself our king. So I would like to know, rather, the people would like to know what you, congressmen, and your fellow congressmen are going to do to rein in the megalomaniac in the White House.
Mic drop.
I'm not going to give you my best foghorn leghorn response to that. But what I was seeking to go ahead and sit down. Thank you. When you talk about tyranny, when you talk about presidential power, I remember having the same discussion with Republicans when Biden was elected.
Give me a break.
The funny thing is, you're sitting here and a lot of you would probably say those January 6s who are yelling just as loud as you, who are upset just like you.
Unbelievable. He's comparing his constituents to violent insurrectionists and making fun of their accents. The news continues. I tell you how you know if an elected official is actually doing a good job. I drop Maggie's metrics for elected officials. We come back here on the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
It's got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic than before than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Cal with me on the board. Jamie, my senior producer, listening in to keep track of all your comments and questions that we get coming in on the text line. Join our show. I'm about to get into basically what I have discerned after nearly 15 years in government service. Some of my best advice for really being able to suss out whether or not your elected official is doing a good job, with a special focus on local elected officials. But I'm really curious about what you all have to say as well. So join this conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, because, and one of the reasons I want to focus on local government is that while our political dialogue tends to be dominated by the national discourse, and then that sort of bleeds into, infects, if you will, all of our discussions on a state and local basis to varying degrees, it's actually the wrong, maybe not the wrong way. It's one way to think about politics. Another way to think about politics that I think is more reflective of just the brass tacks reality on a day-to-day basis is that it is the local units of government, the smallest units of government, the ones that are closest to you, that actually have the greatest amount of impact on the quality of your and your family's day-to-day life. In other words, it's bottom-up in government. Those changes being made at the federal level, they'll impact you, but oftentimes it takes a lot longer for big changes at the federal level to impact and for you to feel the impact of some of those changes in your family's day-to-day life. Again, local government, some of that stuff is immediate. You know, like, is the garbage getting picked up if that's a thing in your jurisdiction? So I wanted to spend some time, like, talking about what makes an elected official a good one, sharing with you some of my experience. Now, with the focus on local elected officials, that's not to say that the things that I'm going to talk about today do not also apply at the national level. And this is all part of this bigger discussion. I've talked with Tom Paulswitz, who guest hosts with me on Thursday, a bit about this. And we've revisited this a number of times together on the air. And that is, politicians engage in rhetoric, some of it more lies than rhetoric, some of it, you know, more racist than other rhetoric. There's all those things. But rhetoric is part of politics writ large. And so how do we get beyond that? When a politician makes a promise during a campaign stretch, you know, like, how do we figure out if they're actually fulfilling that? So we're going to get into some of that here. I've got some stories to share with you. I've got some local headlines that have broken just over the last few days that are emblematic of these kinds of questions. So 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I wanted to also share this. One of my favorite callers and texters, Mark from Prairie du Sexe, texting in that apparently Ron Johnson's voicemail box is full. No room at the inn. Can't leave a message because so many constituents are calling to express their dismay and displeasure, their anger at the billionaire overlording of it all, if you will. In case you would like to personally verify that Ron Johnson's voicemail box is indeed full at his D.C. office, of course, I've got Ron Johnson's both local number and his D.C. phone number. Okay, so his Milwaukee phone number, I'm going to give you that one first for his office in Milwaukee, is 414-276-7872. That's 414-276-7872. And I thought I had Ron Johnson's D.C. office number up here. I'm going to get it. Just give me one second because I think, you know, we should give him a little bit more love. Make sure that those voicemails stay full. This one for Ron Johnson in D.C. Here's his phone number, 202-224-5323. That's 202-224-5323. Go tell Ron Johnson you didn't vote for any billionaire overlord and Musk needs to slow his roll. And tell him, you know, it's not about efficiency, but rather gutting all expertise out of federal government, you know, for political hacks. I'm sure that'll be good. Cam from Appleton on the text line saying he helped fill up Senator Johnson's mailbox. Woohoo! I love it. Hello. Also, greetings to Patrick from Wisconsin Rapids, Matt in Middleton, Dave in New Berlin. Thanks all for showing up for the Maggie Dawn Show. Of course, you can join us 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. So let me just jump in with a couple of the news stories that broke this week within Milwaukee County. One was a report about the West Dallas Fire Department, in particular, one of their assistant chiefs, who apparently has been the subject of numerous harassment and bullying employee complaints for years, and who it appears, at least according to the Journal Sentinel's reporting on this, to have largely been protected, excused, etc., by the department. They had a large internal investigation that was conducted, an independent one by a law firm of the West Dallas Police Department, and some absolutely shocking analysis in that report. So that's the first local story about. There's this out of control assistant chief in the West Dallas Police Department who's been apparently bullying and harassing not just women, but just bullying and harassing people in the department, kind of known as the enforcer, all kinds of misbehavior and inappropriate pressure going on there. They had to spend a bunch of money for this independent investigation. The other one, now this is an interesting one, a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge kind of lost his marbles on the bench, lost his temper, which apparently isn't a new thing for this judge, and has given Milwaukee Public Schools 10 days to get the requisite number of school resource officers into MPS schools. This was part of the sales tax deal. Anyways, apparently this judge gives not a whit to whether or not there are actual officers available, where they come from, who pays for them, or anything else. He just banged his gavel in a fit of anger and ordered it done because, you know, robitis, once they put on a black robe, apparently they often mistake themselves for God. We're going to talk about these two stories specifically, but what do they mean? What hints can they give us for how to understand if your local elected officials, like judges, like mayors that appoint the fire chiefs, are actually doing a good job? Keep it locked. Join the conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. More in just a moment.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection looking for high school students interested in being the next class of Wisconsin Agricultural Youth Council members. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. High school juniors can apply now through March 31st to be a part of the 12-person council. Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski says this is something that was devised during the pandemic to keep young people engaged in where their food comes from.
We have great connection with what we now call our alumni, people who have done this in previous years, and they say it's been a great experience. They've learned a lot. It's helped them focus on what their career might be. The people that we're working with are obviously very busy, but they're also very driven, and they're really focused on what's important to them, and they're engaged in they're very engaged in what that future looks like. So, you know, we get as much out of it as they do, I think, because we get to learn what they need, what interests them, what part of the world of agriculture is there going to be their focus. And so we get to help kind of craft how we as a state agency can help them with that.
Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Ag Secretary, they're looking for 15 members of the next generation Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council. Romanski says that those high school juniors can apply now through March 31st. Just go to agyouthcouncil.wi.gov.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a Heads Up seed treatment.
Loss of appetite? Drop in milk production and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation.
Do you have a favorite burger spot? Well, the Wisconsin Beef Council wants to know about it. They've launched their second annual Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest, looking for the state's most delectable 100% beef burger. They're trying to celebrate those Wisconsin restaurants that craft memorable burger experience. From now through March 21st, you can nominate your favorite beef burger from anywhere in Wisconsin. Go to beeftips.com and submit today. That's literally a look at food news on a Monday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A blast of spring today. Under mostly sunny skies, high temperatures soar to the low 50s. But it's a bit breezy, with a west wind whipping up to 30 miles per hour. It will become cloudy tonight, with lows falling below freezing. And another mild day tomorrow, with highs in the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlow. Currently, it's 52.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or similar Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important is it for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome RogerEbert.com film critic Mariah Gates for some Oscar talk, and entrepreneur Chad Franker joins the show to talk about a new program to combat loneliness.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Where do I go?
you can talk to me, Maggie Dawn, your host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join our conversation this half hour, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. How do you make a determination about whether or not your elected officials, especially your local elected officials, are doing a good job? This is it's an important question, right? Because I think so much of our impressions, we all just as human beings suffer a little bit from confirmation bias. Like, hey, if that's the guy or gal that I supported, then I'll think everything they do is great. But in reality, we all know that elected officials all perform regardless of party, regardless of whether or not they were our particular chosen candidate for an office. There's a spectrum of performance outputs, right? And the way that we view that, the way that we assess elected officials, I'd suggest to you, can't simply be, well, if it's our guy, all they do is good things and we'll defend it to the last breath. At least I like to think that most of us consider ourselves to be more discerning than that, right? Not so inclined to only see the faults of candidates that we didn't vote for, and also not inclined to only see the upsides of the candidates we do vote for, to actually be able to come up with an approach that is trying to get at some sort of objective performance analysis, right? And of course, we have our policy preferences. Maybe you're more conservative. Maybe you're more liberal. We've got those general policy preferences. But I think we can go deeper than that. And I think trying to get beyond, is this my team? Is this somebody I voted for? And is this in exact alignment with the way that I think the world should be organized? I think we actually owe ourselves a little bit better than that when it comes to assessing the effectiveness of our local elected officials. My opinions obviously are just my own. I encourage listening to your views on how we go about making those assessments, especially at the local level. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, especially at the local level. I am going to consider myself a wee bit of an expert in that regard because I served in local government for a long time. Got to see the way that elected officials behave, their decision-making, all up close and personal. And I have some thoughts. You'd be surprised to hear. I'm sure that I have some thoughts about that. And I'm using two examples. There is a reporting out this week that the West Dallas Fire Department has a toxic culture that one particular assistant chief, a guy by the name of Jay Scharfenberg, has been investigated once in 2018, again, this investigation that just concluded, and that there have been escalating claims since 2017 against this particular assistant chief and the department that his behavior is particularly, quote, demeaning and toxic, that the entire management structure provides insufficient training, doesn't hold doesn't keep people accountable if they behave poorly, isn't ensuring safety during critical incidents. Here's one of the findings from the report. Employees report that the chiefs fault find obsessively, enforce rules selectively, and flaunt policy when it suits them. They talk about lewd talk in the fire station, belittling and classic workplace bullying. It goes on and on. One of the hardest things to assess within government and amongst leadership in government is whether or not people are actually successful personnel managers. Within every governmental unit, from the smallest to the largest, there is some element of personnel management. Now, it is very rare that, like, the chief elected official, you know, your mayors, your county executives, are directly involved with day-to-day personnel management. But if it is personnel issues that are happening within one of the departments that they control, that they have ultimate responsibility for, you know, the buck has to stop with them. So one of the things that I generally suggest to people on a local governmental basis is actually looking to see if employee policies, their employee handbooks for the jurisdiction are published. Are they actually available to the public? Can you, a member of the public, go and see if they have robust HR, human resources policies? You can ask departments, well, what is your training? Can you point to, is there training materials or what's required within a department? Is that publicly available? Where? Why do I start with this really boring thing about personnel management? Because what the West Dallas Fire Department expose, if you will, makes clear is no leader is going to be loved by every single person that ever works for them. But there is a far difference between style distinctions, if somebody loves the vision of a department, and the brass tacks of keeping a functional, results-oriented governmental department running that is free from harassment and abuse and high on accountability. And it starts with having basic HR policies. So while this seems really in the weeds, I'm going to suggest to you that looking for this key metric in your town, village, do they have robust employee policies? How do they hire? How do they handle employee complaints? Do they have a robust training program? All those things matter. And the last thing I would suggest is, are they doing employee engagement surveys? Is really important. Are the results publicized? And do leaders go through 360-degree reviews? If those kinds of things aren't happening in your jurisdiction, I guarantee there's some funky-dunky personnel management or lack of management that is going on. So that's thing one, very tactically. Thing two is, I'm going to talk about this judge in Milwaukee County Circuit Court that is handling the MPS Student Resource Officer lawsuit. MPS is part of a piece of negotiated legislation to help Milwaukee generate more revenue generally. They got a authorization from the state to implement a sales tax. Part of the deal was that they had to put 25 school resource officers into Milwaukee Public Schools. It hasn't happened yet. One, because the legislation only says that the board and the city of Milwaukee shall agree to an apportionment of the cost for that, but it didn't say exactly who should be paying for it. Is it coming out of MPS's budget, the city of Milwaukee's budget? So it wasn't specified in the legislation. The other issue is that the city is having incredible problems hiring new officers, let alone 25 of them, to fill these slots, which leaves the question of, well, if a judge is going to intervene into this case, is he going to force officers to be reassigned from other posts? And he gave the city just 10 days to get this done or face sanctions and contempt of court. Is he really going to incarcerate like school officials or like Chief Jeffrey Norman? I don't get it. Here's my biggest point. This judge, and we elect our judges, our state court judges, his name is David Borowski. He is known for losing his temper in court. He did so in this hearing. Lots of pounding the table, lots of shouting at lawyers and parties, lots of calling people names in his courtroom. So I'm going to use this to make two points about how you know if elected officials, including elected judges, are doing their job. And that is, do they demonstrate on a general day-to-day basis emotional maturity and restraint? I think that that is an absolutely essential element for any person serving in any governmental function, especially judges. Folks elected to lead jurisdictions like mayors. And I'm not talking about when they're on the campaign trail. That can always get a little spicy. But whether or not a judge can keep themselves from, you know, melting down in an explosion of anger on the bench should be a prerequisite to elected judges. It should be a prerequisite for mayors not losing their temper. We've heard about lots of people in the past that have had problems with this. I'm thinking of you, Rahm Emanuel. He was generally loathed. He was the old mayor of the city of Chicago for having an absolutely terrible temper. If you can't control your temper, you're not going to make good decisions. David Borowski may be an exhibit of that, especially because, again, is he going to actually jail command staff of MPD or the mayor's office or MPS? Like, what's the move here? And again, the losing of temper is not well-placed by any high-level official. So that's one thing. Do they demonstrate emotional control? The second thing that, again, this exhibit about Judge Borowski makes plain is, do they understand the actual practical limitations in which their decision-making is occurring? Do they understand and care not just about making a headline, not just about, well, go do this and their authority to command people around, which I would suggest is another demonstrated problem that Judge Borowski has, that it's more about his authority and control and less about, hey, is this possible? How is this going to happen? And given the how, are we going to actually see the results that we want to see here? Judge Borowski, again, seems to be more into, you know, showing everybody who's the boss in his courtroom and, you know, letting some of his emotional demons get exercised in a courtroom, which isn't the proper place for them. So just to summarize, we got three things. One, do they have robust personnel management? Two, is the elected official emotionally mature? Three, do they care as much about the how it's going to get done as they care about the result and the headline? I often find that there is an incentive. I don't care what level of government you're at, to grab the headline and then stop worrying about whether or not the initiative, the policy, the legislation that you have advocated for is actually working. And again, this happens in all manner of shapes and ways every single day. It can't just be about the headline. It needs to actually work. I think a lot of local elected officials care more about the headline, less about whether or not it works. So those are just some really, really big picture ideas. 855-752-4842. We've got one of our new texters and listeners. Hey, Jenny from Wisconsin Rapids. Love to give a shout out to Wood County Democrats. Amazing. They're working hard to organize, canvas, and have mobile office weekends to reach the community. That would be in sharp contrast to many of the MAGA elected officials and MAGA parties whose phone lines seem to be magically not receiving any messages anymore. Ron Johnson, I am looking at you, sir. By the way, if you would like to express your displeasure to the Republican Party of Wisconsin for endorsing a billionaire overlord who was appointed to nothing that was confirmed by Congress, has apparently no oversight over his $20 billion-plus in federal contracts, which are a per se conflict of interest, who have no interest in apparently looking into the fact that X's CEO threatened an advertiser with X that unless they upped their advertising spend, that Elon, our billionaire overlord, was going to block that advertiser's merger with another company through his contacts in the administration. You know, another conflict of interest. If you would like to express your disdain, your dissatisfaction for our billionaire overlord and the $4.5 trillion in tax cuts that Donald Trump is going to gift to billionaires that don't need them, here's the Republican Party of Milwaukee County's phone number, 414-897-7202. That's 414-897-7202. And Waukesha County, 262-542-8532. That's 262-542-8532. Let's jam those phone lines, everybody, and get it done. 855-75-CIVIC is how to give me a call here. 855-752-4842. We're talking about how to make sure your local elected officials are actually getting it done. What speaks to them demonstrating effectiveness on the job? When we come back, I'm going to give you a few other ideas. We're going to talk to Terry from the Northwoods. We're going to get your input on this question of the hour. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in just a flash.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Back. Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're new to the show, I worked for nearly 15 years in total across the federal government, first as a federal appeals court elbow clerk to Judge Michael Caney. Then I was an assistant city attorney for the city of Milwaukee. I ran the city of Milwaukee's 401k plan then, and for nearly 8 years, I then served as the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County. Not a criminal prosecutor. I handled all the civil matters for Milwaukee County. So worked in government for quite some time at a number of levels. And we're talking about how do you tell when an elected official is actually good at their job? We're going to go to the phone lines. I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. 4842. I had a couple things, and these are kind of intentionally in the weeds, right? Of course, you want them to fulfill their campaign promises. My suggestion is to always look beyond, hey, I did legislation X, and see if you can find some data about whether or not legislation X actually returns results that are what you thought they were going to be. My three basic thing was, does the jurisdiction, does that official have robust personnel policies? Being a good personnel manager is key in a lot of governmental roles. Does that elected official demonstrate emotional control and maturity, EQ? Thirdly, does this person care about the how? They may say, we need to get here. This is the result that I want to see. Do they care about the how of it, the practicalities of getting things done in government? By far, too many elected officials do not sufficiently care about the how. And I'm looking at you, legislators, in the legislative branches. It is the executive branch that's in charge with executing and faithfully executing those laws. So legislators, I think, have a special challenge to make sure that they understand the how. Do we have the budget? Do we have the personnel? Wait a minute, is that even legal? Those kinds of questions. I'm going to give you some more of my thoughts on how to tell if a local governmental official or any official is actually getting it done. But first, I want to hear from Ollie in the Northwoods. Ollie, welcome to the show. What's your thought this afternoon?
Well, I would like to ask you if you would please repeat the last phone numbers.
Sure.
As I do not have internet, all I can do is call people, and I try to do that daily. I was able to get through to Ron Johnson's number early this morning, but and leave a message. So hopefully that will be considered. Probably not, but one can hope. Also, I want to take this moment to say that on April 1st, it should be April 1st should be don't let Elon Musk, Trump, and the billionaires fool us day.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ali. I appreciate you listening and calling. I hope you got your pen ready, Ali. Here's the Republican Party of Wisconsin, their Milwaukee office phone number, 414-897-7202. Their number for their Waukesha County office, 262-542-8532. And I'll give you a little Ron Johnson, his Milwaukee number, 414-276-7282, 414-276-7282. We're going to throw a bunch of those numbers. I know, Ali, you don't have internet, but for those of you that do have the interwebs, first of all, if you live in a rural area and you recently have had Wi-Fi or expanded internet coverage, thank Joe Biden and the Democrats, because they happened because of Senator Baldwin and Joe Biden's investments in infrastructure to get the internet, to make sure everybody could access the internet, especially in rural areas. We're going to put all those phone numbers in our show notes for today. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows. Just look for the Maggie Dawn Show. Wanted to flesh out the discussion about what makes a good elected official, caring about the how and the what's, good EQ, good personnel management, frequent audits of their department. Look at whether or not that elected official has ever actually done anything in their life, or have they just been an elected official? Not that that gets adjust, but you know what I'm getting at. Actually doing things, running departments other than running for offices. It's good to have actual operational experience. Here's a big one. Here is a big one. Do they speak clearly and plainly and intelligently about the things that you care about? In other words, do they know what the freaking frack they are talking about? And can they explain what is happening from a policy standpoint to you in a way that makes sense? If we tested for that, and then secondly, looked at whether or not legislation adopted and advocated and trumpeted by elected officials as their accomplishments, if we actually got a level beyond that and said, oh, wait, let's measure the actual results, the impacts of that legislation, if we required them simply to talk knowledgeably and plainly and actually analyze the results, the real impacts of their legislative initiatives, boy, we'd go a far way to dismantling the partisanship that grips our country today. Richard from Waukesha, what do you look for in an elected official, or other comments, sir?
Well, I got this idea. I saw something. It might sound strange, but the Ralph Nader, Chris Farley High Tech Bell. I saw it in action. You pick the bell up at the service counter and ring it, but it doesn't ring because it's all plastic. And then with further inspection, you look at it and there's a big smiley face and it says, smile, this bell doesn't work.
See, Richard, we need less of our collective feeling that we're ringing the plastic bell that doesn't work when we want to call our elected officials up. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. Top of the hour, news, weather, and sports are next. I'm going to be back with the director of public health for the Center of American Progress Action Fund to talk about the cuts to the NIH and what that means for your family. All up next right here on The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers is back for a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshauer joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump hosting France's leader. Both expressed confidence on working out a deal to end the war in Ukraine.
A lot of good things toward peace are happening, moving it, I think, pretty quickly.
Today marks 3 years since Russia invaded. It comes as European allies are concerned President Trump has shifted his policy on Ukraine to favor Russia. French President Macron says he believes the U.S. is on the same page to finalize a deal of lasting peace.
A lot of good things.
We are very aware of the necessity to have guarantees and solid peace in order to stabilize the situation.
President Trump says he supports Elon Musk's email to federal employees telling them to reply with their top five accomplishments in this past week. Some agency heads, though, are telling workers to hold off on replying. Pope Francis showing some signs of improvement, the Vatican says, as he battles pneumonia. He remains in critical condition. And singer Roberta Flack has died. She was 88. This is ABC News.